Well, good evening. It's always a pleasure to be here amongst you. I think, as we've said on many occasions, we get such a blessing. And I wonder if you realize what an awesome people you are. And the feeling and pleasure that we receive as visitors amongst you. But I wonder tonight, if you've come with hunger, if you've come with wanting to hear what the Lord would say to you, especially some of the Bible passages that are going to be about to be read out to you. I hope they bless your heart, and I hope they encourage you, and I hope the Lord.
The first reading is taken from John 14, verses 1 to 7. That's John 14, verses 1 to 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
The second reading is from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. It's Isaiah 53. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thanks be to God for these readings.
Howard's going to lead us in prayer. Ask God to bless.
Let us pray. Spirit of God, we welcome you into our midst tonight. Spirit of the living God, fall upon each and every one of us here tonight afresh. We do thank you for the blessings you have given to us in this past week. We also thank you for the blessings that we have left behind, the blessings that we have given to others. We do thank you, Lord, that we are gathered here to worship you, you, our Saviour of the world. We do pray tonight for those who are sick at this time, in their homes, hospitals, nursing homes. We pray for all the doctors, nurses, and carers. We do pray, Lord, put your hand upon them now, that you are the caring one. We do pray for all those who mourn at this time, and especially we think of the incident at Westminster last week. Heavenly Father, we ask you then to bless Chris as he brings your word to us. Fill him with your spirit, Lord, that we will know more about you and that you will draw us near to you. Heavenly Father, in this coming week, may the words of our lips and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And may we say the words that you taught your disciples, and you said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and glory, for ever and ever. Amen. More of tomorrow we still don't understand, but we know we'll hold tomorrow. He's the one that will hold our hands.
I bring blessings and prayers from John Dickinson, our pastor from Griffstone Baptist Church. He sends his regards and asks that you be blessed by the Lord. Theologian once said this: without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. And Jesus said this: I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's one of the most provocative sayings that we can say today, and really has probably gone down through time. That there's only one way. Only one way. But I wonder how much of that we really believe. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I wonder if you're like Thomas here this evening. Do you say to those around you and God, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know? How can we know? You know, we're bombarded with so much in our lives, aren't we? So much comes into our lives day by day, whether it's within church or at our homes, and perhaps we're confused. We don't know the way to go. How can Christ be going that way? Even now, perhaps you feel or think of what's happened recently, which Howard mentioned in his prayer, that we as individuals, as a country, as a nation, perhaps we're lost. Perhaps we're lost. The world presses in upon us, and people kill each other, which seems to be in pointless random acts, and in random and pointless ways. We hurt one another. So many playing mind games with us, and they like to pull and tug upon our emotions and our thoughts and half-baked ideas. And in the middle of this, of course, it's the innocent that always seem to suffer, rather than perhaps those who we see who are guilty. And then perhaps we say, as we look at these situations and what's going on around us, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? As God's people, how can we escape this? How can Jesus free us from this? How can God, our God, enable us to step and move above all of this so that we know the way? I wonder if you know the way here this evening. You know, all we have to do is just talk to our neighbors, those who we meet in the street, members of your family, people who have not been touched by Jesus, they will say they were lost. I know in where I work currently in the NHS, in the Milan Computer Department, I have someone who's above me, and they're lost. Their family are leaving. They don't understand what Christmas means anymore, because it was just opening presents and having an exciting time for them. They're lost because where is their life going? With this mounting of debt that's above them and below them and squeezing them. That then affects relationships. The pressure of work. And they're just struggling to stay afloat with their chin just above the water. You just have to talk to those around us, those whom we meet, members of our family, people who have not been touched by Jesus. They will say they are lost because the world cannot offer them anything. This lostness also permeates so many things, and it can permeate into the church. In Isaiah 53:6, it says this: we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Have you gone astray here today? Each of us have turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all because of our disobedience. That's what happened 2,000 years ago. Because of our disobedience. Because we have gone our own way. Jesus came, the Son of God, entered into this world to seek and save those who are lost. It was one of his primary missions. And if you feel lost tonight, if you feel perhaps you don't know your way or the way of the church, allow Christ to find you. Call out to him and he will rescue you. You don't have to be that lost sheep. You don't have to be the lost coin. You don't have to be that son who went to a foreign country. It's our God desires to draw you back to him, to enable you to have wisdom, so that you can say, I am found, I stand upon the rock. So if anyone comes to you, you can respond in likewise to them to say, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be lost. Jesus came, the Son of God, entered the world to seek and save those who were lost. Jesus opened the way back to God, for this was his mission. This was his purpose. You know, he didn't have to. But he so loved the world about you and me. He so loved the our freedom, so that we can come back to God, so that we will no longer be slaves to the world and the disobedience it contains. You know, it's so easy to be disobedient, isn't it? We can have a prompting from the Lord and we can say, no, I'll be embarrassed. No, I'll be ashamed. You know, the Lord never puts us in a position that we would ever be embarrassed. Rather, there's people who are desperate to know what you know. I chat with Jan and Howard when they go on holiday and the lives that they change. And they use just simple words, but they have such purpose. And their timing is so unique for people who need God in their lives, even though perhaps those people didn't know that God was there for them. Tonight, no longer be slaves to the world. And don't enjoy the disobedience that it contains. Now, while Christ said, there's only the one way, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You may say, well, there are other ways to God, surely. Really? Let me ask you, in those other ways, or people who profess that there are other ways and that they know these other ways, have they the marks on their hands and feet that our God does? Do they have the scar of the spear which marks their side? Do they profess, and can you see the crown of thorns, the marks, the indentations upon our God's head? And have they allowed their precious lifeblood to be spilt upon this earth? Can they say that? Of course, there's more than that, isn't there? For while he even died, he then rose from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven. You know, if these people cannot say, if these other ways that are professed cannot show this, then how can they blaze a trail back to our God? You see, only one has done this. And he knows the way. He knows the way. For he has paid the price for. If you are lost, I wonder if you're prepared to go close to him. The one who knows the way back to God because of what he went through. This means he has the right to show you the way to go. If you are following him because of what God has done, can you say to others and can you point the way and show them the way? say, this is what the Lord has done. And if they say, yes, but there are other ones, ask them those questions. And show me the marks. Show me the spear scar. Show me the blood that was spilt. Show me the resurrection. And show me the fact that your way is sat next to the Father in heaven, interceding on our behalf. If you can do these things, do not pray to the one who has earned the right to lead you, to show you the way clearly, so much more clearly. You see, the world hates Christ for this. For they want the difficult way. It's a difficult way. You see, Christ has made it so simple, so easy for us. We just have to give our life to Him and have faith in Him and believe in Him. But the world wants the difficult way. It wants us to perform. It wants us to show through our lives how we can earn the way. You cannot earn the way. The world hates Christ for this because they want the difficult way. They want every way to lead to God, even if they do not. You know, just to say these words in our world today means that we are bigots, we're prejudiced, we care nothing for others, yet nothing could be further from the truth. For we worship a God who cares for all and says, I've made the sacrifice, I've done the work, I've spilt my blood, now come to me and I will give you eternity. I will give you eternity. Trouble is, no one believes in a free lunch. But what Christ offers is free. There is a price to do. Life, so that you might be given a greater life. You see, Christ says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Sorry, we have no other option, for he gave none. No other way exists. He did not say other words, for it is Christ who has earned the right to say these things. And we have the capability and understanding to read them and believe in a God who can take us there. Ask the question of anyone else if they believe there is another way. Has their way been made by someone who's been punished, who's died for them, that have risen from the death and came back and ascended into heaven? And even more than all of this, he sent his Spirit so that you could be led back to the Father. Has anyone else done this? I know not of one. Nobody's told me of anyone. For we have a redeeming Savior who gave his all. And God, we thank you for this. For if we follow Jesus, then that means we're no longer lost. You see, Jesus claims that he is the way in a world that is lost. He also claimed that he had the truth in a world that's full of darkness. You know, for all the knowledge that we accumulate year on year as a human race that we have gathered around ourselves is available practically to anybody through the internet over all the centuries, you know, we're still as clueless and we're still stumbling round in the darkness when unable to find a light switch. And what we've really discovered is there are more questions than answers. We have no answers. Our cold logic offers us no comfort. It provides no hope and gives us no solutions, for we are creatures of eternity. Jesus offers the way and he provides the truth. The world debates truth all the time. Yet if you have met with the Lord Jesus Christ, you no longer have any doubt regarding the truth. For Christ offers it. And he places us in our hearts. You know, there's something that we cannot comprehend, is eternity and infinity. But if you read God's word, where does he place these two things? He doesn't place it in here because our minds aren't big enough. Instead, he places the picture in our hearts. But we can comprehend. The world is struggling to find the truth. And they can't find it, which means that they are fear. Yet our God settles us in that. And he takes our doubts away regarding it. For Christ offers the truth to all those who desire to hear and are prepared to fear the Lord. You see, Jesus revealed the truth when he came through his Spirit. He declared the truth to be revealed through all those who put pen to scrolls and papyrus and paper. And that truth has been handed down to us, and it is known as the Bible. The Bible. I'm not saying the Bible is our scientific book. I'm not saying our Bible describes DNA and all those things, but provides us with truth for living. So that we might discover that truth and be fearful of the Lord, so that we would have wisdom and therefore security. It says this at the end of John's Gospel in John 20. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. No other name, his name. Can others tell you what to believe? Can others tell you? But Christ can give you certainty. Who can give you faith? I can't. But Christ can. Who is able to give you a tongue to confess? I can't, but Christ does. I wonder if you're able to confess here this evening with those who are sat around you in a secure environment that you have eternal life and you know the truth. And because you follow the living God, because he has shown the way and he's given you the truth. We know what we have experienced during this last week. We know in our lives what we experience time after time. We know the sadness that our towns and cities are in. We know how many people commit suicide. We know how many families break up. How many divorces that take place. How many children are abused and bereft. In the world, there's a snow. Without Christ, for this world, our world is full of death, loneliness, pain, suffering, and disappointment. Yet a Savior has come who is called the Christ, and he provides us, those who believe on him, with truth, with a way to follow, but he also provides life. Jesus says, I am the way for a world that is lost, the only way. Jesus says, I am the truth for a world that is inhabited by darkness and fear. And Jesus gave his life to those who are lost and who have no truth. He gives life to those who are in darkness and those who stumble and are lost in a world which is full of darkness. The life that Jesus gives is not an old life, but a new life. I've been taught to Nicodemus, often say to him, born again. I wonder if you desire this new life, or if you've had it, do you have a greater portion of it? Do you need to be born again? You see, this is why Christ came. You don't have to have the same life. You may have the same circumstances, but you don't have to have the same life. And not like the world, you don't have to have the old, tired life that the world desires to give to you, but a new life. So you can have movement within the kingdom. That you can form this kingdom upon this earth because of the force and power and awesomeness that God is giving you through his life and truth and way. You can be a force to be reckoned with. This new life not only conquers our old existence, but also the one to come. This new life which Christ offers also destroys death. It crushes it under its feet. It enables us to be free from fear that the world has, which is the fear of death. We no longer have to clamor and cling to an old life, but instead we can have a new one which he offers, which overcomes, because our Lord is an overcomer, and he decides and he desires you to be the same. I wonder what sort of life that you have here this night. Are you living in the kingdom? Are you free from death? Have you the truth of God? Are you experiencing the freedom that Christ offers? Have you escaped because of him? And have you been given life, which the world in your old life has sucked away from you, so that you can be as today in the sun and sunshine? But God offers more. Do you have the fullness of life, something that few Christians really experience? No matter what life offers you, not what it brings to your door, you have the life of Christ. You are sustained and provided for by his Spirit. When I was in A&E in November of last year, and I know these folks knew that I was there, they prayed for me as others did, and I felt God's life surrounding me and uplifting me. And as I looked at the other people who were there, tears filled my eyes, because they had no hope. They had no hope. But God offers that hope. And he sustained you with his life. But do you have the fullness of life? God offers so much more. Jesus says, I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you have that abundant life here this evening? And if you have it, are you able to give it to others? So you're able to say, it doesn't matter. People say, what do you mean? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because you don't have an eternity with God. And this life that we have right now is just a vapor. And we have eternity with God, and that eternity begins once you become to know the Lord Jesus Christ and you are following him. You have the truth, which is his word, and that you have his life, and life in great abundance. Do you have the life of Christ, and do you have that life in abundance? Can you not wait heaven? Are you excited about going to heaven? You know, so many people are so afraid of death. Many are afraid of the process of death. Many Christians are. We all want to be like that and then we're with our Lord. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. But God is prepared to give you life to get you through those times so that other people can look at you and wonder, how on earth can they be like this at these times? And because we've heard these things and we understand these things, are we now ready to bow to the claims of Christ? And if we know these claims, and they're not made by arrogance or exclusion, but because he earned them upon a cross of pain and shame, he spilt his blood so that we might know these things. Are you following him? Have you acknowledged the truth? Are you walking within the kingdom of God? And when people look at you, they see life. And that life in great abundance. Let's thank the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your Son in this world to show us the way. And hallelujah, I pray for all those, dear Lord, and thank you that ones you have chosen that are following your way. Dear Lord, we thank you for your truth, which comes from your word, and that because of knowing you through the power of the Spirit, we can understand that truth. And that changes our existence and changes our lives. We praise you, dear Lord. Praise you for those who love your truth, as Howard prayed about it tonight. That you've given us our daily bread, and you've given it to us every day. Thank you that we can come before you and cry out to you, give us our daily bread. And dear Lord, I pray and thank you for those who know life. Dear Lord, this world needs. And, dear Lord, this world needs to know of people who know life and are prepared to give that life to others and show by their example that they are alive in you. Praise you and bless you and thank you for them, dear Lord. Thank you that they're willing to step up to the mark and to show to others, look at my God and what he's doing for me. I stand upon that rock. Tonight to desire that life in greater abundance, dear Lord, would you fill them here tonight? Would you open their hearts? Would you open who and what they are? So this world would be fulfilled by them. Dear Lord, this world would bow to you because of what you're doing through them. Because of God. Our God is alive and working amongst his people. We thank you, dear Lord, for your full measure, and that you have chosen us and you need us. Spend a few moments of quiet with the Lord so that he might minister to you. Praise you and bless you, dear Lord. We thank you for all that you are giving us. For your choosing of us. For your trust in us. And that we are blessed by you.